Welcome. Well, you are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we're delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. We certainly would love to hear from you. So send us an email with your question or your comment to Jim and Joy at EWTN.com. And happy 4th of July to you all. Well, today we're very happy to have with us again Sabrina Farisi, who I think needs to be told that she's the biggest cheerleader for Carlos Acutis. She is a journalist and an author, and she's written a great book, and it's entitled Blessed Carlo Acutis, The Amazing Discovery of a Teenager in Heaven. And this beautiful book is available at EWTNRC.com. Please go out to the website, carloacutis.com. Well, it is the 4th of July, and we're celebrating our nation's birthday, which is always fun. Yeah. And so I hope that you're having a wonderful time with your family. Maybe you're out celebrating barbecues, parades, or you're at, as we would say in Jersey, you went to the shore, you did that, or to the beach, wherever it is that you go. But I pray that you're having a beautiful time, and also that you're praying for our nation. Amen. We all need to be praying for revival. Revival starts right here in your own heart. So bring your heart before the Lord and say, Lord, revive me, awaken me, that my witness would matter to all the people that are in my sphere. Yeah. Pray.
It seems like Carlo Acutis was doing that all the time.
Yes.
His intimacy with the Lord, his desire for renewal, his desire to spread the word, to share with his young friends about the love of Christ, about the Holy Eucharist and miracles, and just basic fundamentals of faith. So we want to learn more about Carlo. And Carlo also believed, what's in the preamble, all men are created equal.
Mm-hmm.
So did he do stuff with people? Did he reach out to community around him? How did he touch souls and lives? We'll be hearing about that as well. So we'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, you are at home with Jim and Joy, and today we have Sabrina Farisi with us. She's a journalist and author, and she's written a great book entitled Blessed Carlo Acutis, The Amazing Discovery of a Teenager in Heaven. This beautiful book is available at EWTNRC.com. You have children, you have grandchildren. He's the guy that you want to introduce them to. CarloAcutis.com.
It's a great book for older people like me.
Yeah, no.
Because he's so encouraging, Carlo.
Yeah. You know, yes.
And as Sabrina's sharing with us, I'm getting excited about the stuff happening, you know, like all around him. And it just says, you know, God's really alive and he's doing something. So it's great for people of all ages.
And the beautiful thing, too, his life was so short-lived. And here we are in our latter years of our living. We say that we're in the 20-yard line. We're in the end zone, right? We're not on the 50-yard line. We're trying to be realistic about who we
are. We're in the red zone.
We're in the red zone, although I think I'm 16, but I'm not. It's time is of the essence.
Yeah.
And he had that urgency of living, but living brilliantly, living bright, and being so effective with his short life-lived witness that he was.
So for those that didn't catch the first show, just tell us a little bit about what they'll find in this book or why Carlo has so struck
you. So for those of you who know, Carlo is going to be canonized. We don't yet know the date, but we think it's going to be within the next year, 2025.
Wow.
And Carlo is the first millennial saint. He was born in 1991. He died in 2006 at the age of 15. And what's so amazing about him is, you know, he lived like us with technology, and yet he learned how to live as a saint, even with all this technology. He didn't let himself get dominated by it. He dominated the technology.
Amen.
And he was just a wonderful person, very fun, attractive, laughing. He had a lot of friends. He was very normal. He wasn't the shy kid in the corner. he was probably the more popular kid in the school. So he's a wonderful person to get to know, and he's been so inspiring for me as an adult. When I was writing my book, I thought, oh, this is going to be good for kids, for teenagers. And by the end of my project, I'm like, who am I kidding? This is good for me.
Yes.
Because he lived a spiritual plan of life every day. And as an adult, I'm like, well, if a 15-year-old could do this, why can't I?
Right. So, like, what is your story?
Right.
Now, tell us about Carlo's daily spiritual plan that he had as a young, he was always young.
Okay. So from the age of 7 onwards, he was going to Mass every day. Now, again, he lived in Milan. There are churches on every corner. He had a family that was willing to help him go to Mass every day. On days when he was sick, he would make a spiritual communion. But he was trying to go to Mass every day. He would pray the rosary every day. He would do Eucharistic adoration either before or after Mass, 15 minutes. And he would pray, you know, a few minutes of the Bible. He would read the Bible. So besides that, he was also doing community service. He was going to feed the homeless. Around the age of 8 or 9, he started going out every night because, again, living in Milan, it's a city. There were a lot of homeless people right outside his door, literally. And it just broke his heart because, you know, Milan has very cold winters. I'm from New York. We have very cold winters. And he would go to sleep knowing there were people outside sleeping. So he started to tell his parents, Mom, Dad, we need to bring some leftovers. Can would you mind, can we bring the leftovers? So they started to do it as a family. And he did this from the age of 8 or 9, I'm not quite sure, but the rest of his life until he died. And he would even do it when he was on vacation in Assisi. So his love for the homeless never ended. And in that, he was very close to St. Francis, who was his favorite, one of his favorite saints, but I believe it was his favorite saint. Even though he came from a family with a lot of money, very wealthy, well-to-do, he's like, this stuff we have at home, it's not for me. I need to give it away.
So, as was Francis, right?
Yes,
I mean, he was wealthy too.
Yeah.
But Carlo also loved his pets.
Yes. So this is another way he's so relatable. Carlo, they had 4 dogs, 2 cats, and a goldfish. And they're living in an apartment in Milan. I'm thinking, what was this apartment like? Because we have 1 dog in the house. Anyway, so he loved his dogs. Apparently, when they would go out, if he ever saw, like, you know, a bird that was sick on the side of the road, he would try to bring it home. But anyway, he was a big lover of animals. And this makes him, you know, really relatable for all of us who have pets at
home. You speak about his heart and that his heart was broken for the poor that he saw. And I just thought, yeah, it's pretty clear from his life that he had the heart of Christ.
Yeah, you know?
And I think he had a devotion to the Sacred Heart,
the
Immaculate Heart.
Yeah,
I think that was really operating within him. So he would be doing the things that Jesus loved and would do and would honor the created order.
In
proper order.
Yeah.
But would be about it as seen in his care for animals as well as people.
He had a very developed spiritual life.
Okay.
And so the more you pray, the more you understand what God wants from you, you know, that you feel the presence of God in your life. And for Carlo, he had a very, very deep spiritual life. So at a certain point, he felt God wanted him to go out and feed the poor, and that's what he did.
Yeah.
So,
but you know, what a witness and a saint for now.
Exactly.
When teenagers are so caught up in themselves.
Exactly.
And doing all their apps that they live on and they're so connected to, and they get all these likes about nothing, nobody really cares about them.
Yeah.
Carlo said, you can use technology, but then you have to give yourself away.
Yeah.
Because that's how you're really going to find yourself, is when you serve and you give yourself away and you adore the Lord and he's going to tell you who you are.
Yeah.
So what a beautiful witness for our young people in 2024 who have completely lost their way with technology.
Yeah. No, he was the opposite of a lonely person. You know how now we think about so many young people are so alone because they're just in front of their screens all day long.
So
and they
isolated.
Don't really have friends. Carlo was inviting people over all the time. He had friends, real flesh and blood friends, all the time.
Right.
And he was going out to serve the poor. When Carlo passed away, you know, the funeral was packed. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of homeless people there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, besides the fact that overflowing crowds into the streets, yeah. a lot of the people there were homeless because he would talk. He wouldn't just give them food. He talked to them. He mm-hmm. knew their names.
Mm-hmm. He was their friend.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
wasn't just helping them out with no. something to eat or to drink. He wanted to encounter them in that way.
Yeah. And also he would use his allowance to buy sleeping bags, mm-hmm. to buy blankets. And it's funny because Antonia told me as a kid, like, he was very obedient. He never gave them cause for any worry or, you know, stress at home. I think the only arguments they would have is he didn't want to buy more than one pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, he just had very little clothes. He didn't want more clothes. And he was living in Milan, didn't care about designer clothes. And trust me, if you're in Milan and you don't care about designer clothes, you're a non-conformist.
Right.
So he didn't care about that stuff. That was the only thing they ever argued about. He's like, no, I don't want more shoes. I can give my shoes to, you know, the homeless yeah. people outside. So, yeah. yeah.
I share this verse a lot, but it's certainly true in his life. That, you know, if you want to find your life, you're going to lose it.
Yeah, you have to give
and
it
if
away.
You want to lose, if you choose to lose your life, you find your life. And that is just critical for our depressed, suicidal, used, younger people today.
Yeah.
Because that,
yeah.
all this stuff, you know, you speak about his use of technology, and he was saying you shouldn't be dominated
yeah.
by technology.
Yeah.
But technology is not bad. We have to dominate technology
yeah.
and use technology.
For the
Do you
good.
Understand that it's trying to use you? People are trying to use
Absolutely.
You with technology?
Yeah.
Give your life away through
mm-hmm.
this.
He was very aware of time, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because he says we live in time, but we're made for eternity. Mm-hmm. And so we have to use our time wisely. And he would say, you know, I can't waste any time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He had a sense, I believe, that he had a sense
yes.
that his life would end young.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was constantly thinking, okay, how am I using my time?
Tell us about his death and the
sure.
impact that it had, especially yeah. on his parents.
Yeah. So around the time he was 15, it was the first month of his sophomore year in high school. So he was very young. He came down with flu-like symptoms. And at first his parents thought, okay, this is a flu. It's going around Milan. They weren't worried.
Right.
But as the days progressed, they started to get scared because he was having a hard time even sitting up in bed. And so finally they brought him to a hospital. They started to do tests. And unfortunately, they got this devastating diagnosis yeah. that he had this form of leukemia, which was terminal. There was nothing they could do. And 3 days after that diagnosis, he died.
Mm.
So it was very fast.
Yeah.
Antonia, I mean, I've interviewed her 4 times. If she had not started and developed a spiritual life because of her son, she's like, mm-hmm. there's no way mm-hmm. we would have been able to survive it.
Mm-hmm.
But she and her husband had been following Carlo for years, going to Mass, praying the rosary. I'm not saying it was still devastating,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but they were able to make some sense of it. Now, of course, it was devastating, but one of the consolations they have is that Carlo now is bringing so many people into the church. And so they have that consolation that Carlo's life did not end for nothing.
Right.
It wasn't wasted.
Mm-hmm.
And his name, I mean, he's famous now.
Yeah. What a great, great, powerful witness.
Yeah.
Now, when she went to tell the priest that Carlo
yeah.
was gone,
yeah.
the priest thought he ran away.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like
yeah,
he didn't.
It was so sudden that
right.
like, you know, they didn't even have time to
it was
tell their friends.
72 hours.
So yeah, they went to their parish priest and said, Carlo andato via, he went away. And the priest was like, he ran away? And they're like, no, he died.
Mm.
And it was just such an agony because this same priest would remember that he would sometimes come into church and just find Carlo, 15-year-old, mm-hmm. praying by himself in front of the tabernacle. This is very strange. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't really see a lot of teenagers praying. And he'd say, what are you doing here? And Carlo would say, I'm praying to see how I can be a light for others. How can I be a light in my family? How can I be a light to my friends in my school? He was that perceptive and that deep.
Mm.
Yeah.
So just an incredible person.
And not morose or drudgery
no.
to be around. So he had the beautiful, winsome combination. And you have the sense he wasn't, you know, trying to say, I want the winsome, and it just was happening in him. I mean, he was encountering
yeah.
the Lord, and you have a bunch of quotes
right.
from him. I think the mother had given you a number of these quotes.
Yeah.
But one of the quotes which struck me is, I'm happy to die because I've lived my life without wasting even a minute of it, doing things that wouldn't have pleased God. I mean, is that a motto for
everyone?
Who can
say that?
Well, we should say that. He lived it.
Yeah, no, he constantly was aware of the presence of God. He had a very deep relationship with Jesus. So he was aware of God's presence, of his guardian angel. I mean, he had some mystical experiences. Mm-hmm. For example, he was very devoted to the apparitions at Fatima.
Right.
He had dreams where Francisco appeared to him, Sister Lucia. Apparently, Jacinta appeared to him when he was a child. So he was, I mean, he had one foot on earth and one foot in heaven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he said of Francesco, what was it, the lady that, or it was interpreted to him, said Francesco was going to have to pray many rosaries and do this and that. And so it was like, and he wasn't in quite the same category as the others. And he said, if they're speaking to Francesco like that, what about me?
Yeah. He was very humble. I mean, he was such a great kid.
So when where was he laid to rest? Where did he wind up in his body?
At first, they laid him to rest outside of Milan. But eventually, they transferred his body to Assisi, which was his dying wish. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be buried in Assisi. Assisi was his favorite place on earth. So the parents started going to Assisi on vacations when he was a little boy, and eventually they bought a house there. So the family, you know, they traveled back and forth from Milan to Assisi all the time. And so it's really beautiful that he got his dying wish. And now, apparently, when you go to Assisi, there are more people going to pray at the tomb of Carlo Acutis than St. Francis.
Oh, my God.
Not that they're in competition,
but
there is a huge influx of people going.
An increase of pilgrims
that are just
so taken with it all.
And that spot where he's laid to rest, we're just going to go to a break here. Maybe you could share with us more.
Sure.
Speak about the church that he's buried in and why that place where that church was built was so significant. We're going to hold that over for the final segment. So I hope you're enjoying this conversation and you're being inspired by Carlo Acutis. So there's plenty more to come. We'll be right back. Please don't go away. Continuing our conversation on Carlo Acutis, Sabrina Farisi's wonderful book here, The Amazing Discovery of a Teenager in Heaven. I don't think I got to ask you any questions. I mean, you got to come back when you're more excited. But yeah, whatever way you want to go, maybe with his canonization or the friendships that he had or what was important to him or his legacy, you have about 3 minutes.
Okay. One of the things that I learned about Carlo in my research is what a wonderful friend he was. So, you know, he's a teenager, he's in high school, but he was very perceptive about who was going through a hard time. And so, you know, particularly kids who were getting bullied or who were ostracized or whose parents were divorcing, he would invite a lot of kids over and just try to spend time with them. So he wasn't just focused on his screen, even though he was a big computer programmer. Mm-hmm. He was focused on his friendships, flesh and blood friendships. So I think that's something that we can all learn from is, you know, we just can't get wrapped up in ourselves. Mm-hmm. We have to think about other people.
It's the key to life.
Yeah.
Give your life away.
Yeah. I think this canonization is going to be massive. So the moment we find out the date, get your tickets, because this is going to be a major event. Just remember, the beatification, it was like a 19-day event in Assisi during COVID lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a big event, and I think it's just going to be a moment of hope and joy in the life of the church.
Mm.
You know, sometimes we get a lot of bad news. This is a good news story, and we want to embrace it. So I think this canonization is going to be amazing.
He's so young, so many people are his contemporaries.
Yeah.
So this isn't like, you know, 500, 1,000 years and somebody's being
canonized. They're alive.
And they're alive. These people are involved.
He has two younger siblings who are 13. Yeah. His mother got pregnant with twins after he died, and they were born on the 4-year anniversary of his death. So, I mean, his mom is just a few years older than me. He has cousins who are alive. Mm-hmm. His friends are, you know, 31 years old right now. Mm-hmm. So he has a lot of contemporaries who will be there, for sure.
What would Carlo have us to know? What would he desire of us? I mean, you can't...
I think, on one hand, I feel like he would be horrified that all this attention is on him because he was not that guy. He didn't want attention on him. He wants to lead us to a deeper relationship with Jesus, which will give us joy and hope. So we have to remember that if we become close to Carlo, we're going to become close to Jesus. Mm. So.
And what a great prayer partner that we have with him and through him. For grandparents out there, if you have grandkids or children and you're thinking they're taking a detour, they're not doing what they're supposed to do, pray to Carlo. Say, I need your prayers. Can you pray with me? I need a prayer partner in heaven. Yeah. And ask him to intercede and be with them on this journey.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. You're a gift to the church. Keep up your great work of writing, especially
thank
with
you
the
for having
Catholic
me.
Register. And we hope to have you back soon.
You did a great job.
Amen. Blessed Carlo Acutis, the amazing discovery of a teenager in heaven. Sabrina Farisi. And available at EWTNRC.com. You know, we don't need signs and wonders to believe in the Lord, but it sure is nice and it sure helps. Mm. And that seems to be bursting all around this young blessed, soon to be canonized a saint of the church. As Joy was saying, ask his prayers for your children, for your grandchildren, for yourself, that you would have the passion and fire of Carlo to want nothing else but to please the Lord Jesus Christ and to share him with other people. We're called to share the Lord Jesus Christ, however he calls you to do that, however old, wherever you are. God bless you. God bless all of your loved ones. Keep it on EWTN. Bye now.